Well, when Jesse was killed, being from Texas, Republicans, gun owners, we ask ourselves, how can this continue to happen over and over and over again in our country? You know, why haven't we done something as a nation?
Frustrating is not the word that we've experienced. Absolutely astonished at the ease in which a civilian can obtain military assault weapons without so much as giving a driver's license.
Lonnie and Sandy Phillips are from San Antonio, but they now live on the road fighting gun violence. They are the parents of 24-year-old Jessica Gowie, killed 5 years ago this July in the Aurora movie theater massacre. Ironically, Jessica had survived a mass shooting the month before at the Toronto Eden Center Mall in Canada.
She had gone there with her boyfriend, who lives in Toronto, and they were standing at the food court, and she just had a funny feeling, and she said, you know, let's go somewhere else and get something to eat. And literally 2 minutes later, right where they were standing, they had the shooting. And she wrote a blog that night, and she said, every second of every day is a gift. And that's kind of what we continue doing, is we live every second of every day to honor her and to honor the other victims of gun violence in our country. 36,000 a year.
Very eerie to hear that she wrote that and then became
yes.
a final victim of it.
Well, I told her when she called that day, I said, you have seen the worst of humanity today, and you'll never experience anything like that again. And I lied to her, you know, unintentionally, but I lied to her.
If I didn't have this fight to try to bring some sanity to our gun laws, my next thing would just be curl up and go away, and I'm not built that way. At my age, the only thing that keeps me going is adrenaline.
We have been on the scene of Newtown right after Newtown happened, Isla Vista, Pulse. So we have met so many people affected by gun violence along the way, and we have been instrumental in meeting a lot of people on the ground, and their love and their support and our love for them gets us through. It's really an amazing connection of family.
You sued the gun and ammo mm-hmm. industry manufacturers. What happened with that? Where do you stand?
Well, we... that case was thrown out, and the lawsuit was not for any monetary gain. It was just to have them change the way they do business, to ask for the ID, to double-check is the ammo being sent to the same address as the person that says they're ordering it. Does the credit card match the ID of the person? There's no check whatsoever. They just take the money and run because they don't have to make the changes because they're protected by a law called PLACA. And that suit was thrown out, and we were ordered to pay $264,000 to their attorneys, which we believe were NRA attorneys. And we decided that we weren't going to do that no matter what. And the judge was kind enough to reduce it to $203,000.
It didn't matter to us if it was $100. They announced to their customers that any money that they got from us, from the judgment, that they were going to distribute it among the organizations that were the most powerful at fighting our mission to make gun violence a public safety issue. So here they are telling us, in effect, that they're going to take our money and use it against us, and we couldn't allow that. Our only alternative was to file bankruptcy to keep them from getting the money.
So we filed bankruptcy this last January. Fortunately, our trailer and our car is protected, and we have just kept moving in spite of it. We are not young people. I just turned 67, and he just turned 73.
We filed bankruptcy on my 73rd birthday.
Yeah. This has been a difficult time, but somehow we keep going.
Has having Donald Trump as president made it more difficult for your work when you see him supporting the NRA?
Actually, what we're doing now is calling out the NRA for their support of Donald Trump. It seems to me that they supported somebody that doesn't have the best interest of victims and survivors or most Americans at heart. So, yeah, we are calling out what they're doing, how they've supported Donald Trump in this endeavor, and I think it's going to give them a black eye that they well deserve.
But the other part of that is that we have not had any national laws passed in almost 25 years. So the real change is happening state to state to state to state. So that's where we're focusing. We're focusing on the grassroots efforts in every state and in every city. And we know that that's where the change is actually going to happen. Our fear is one of the things that is in the works at a national level is reciprocity. And that would make the weakest gun laws in the weakest state apply to the strongest gun laws in the strongest states. And that's something that everybody needs to be very fearful of and very aware of and work on.
New York State has the SAFE Act. Are you pleased with that? And would you like to see that replicated in other states?
Of course. Yes, absolutely. New York and California have the best gun laws in the nation. And they also have the lowest gun deaths in the nation because of that. So good gun laws, fewer deaths. It goes hand in hand. And that's what we would love to see replicated across the United States.
So we have, you know, we have records of what sane gun laws have done to the deaths in the country. So that's what we want to promote. Right now, we've got the CDC, no funding through the efforts of the NRA to even study what devastation our gun laws do to our civilians. So to us, that's one of the main things that we're going to focus on long term. Sandy says we're focused on the grassroots and the states, but that's a short term. We have a long-term plan that's going to take probably 4 to 5 years, but we're taking a playbook out of the NRA. They have a very good model, and we think that it'll work well for us, the same model. So we want boots on the ground. We want activists. We want victims and survivors grouped together to go to the places that we need them when we need them, and that's what we're working on long-term.
What about the mental health issue that spurs, unfortunately, a lot of these shootings and obviously domestic terrorism as well? And
it's all the same. In fact, I just Facebooked out a message a while ago that Manchester was terrorism. Pulse was a terrorist attack. But so was Aurora, Columbine, Virginia Tech, Oak Creek, Santa Barbara. Those were all terrorist attacks, but they were done by a white American who's hiding behind the 2A. So we know that there are problems with mental health in this nation, yet at a national level, they cut funding every chance they get. They also just made it easier for those who are severely mentally ill to be able to obtain weapons. And you meet with them and they say, well, it's a mental health issue. Well, yes, if that's all you're going to see, then yes, let's just focus on that one issue. But we don't have any more mentally ill people in our country than we do in any other country. And yet they don't have the issues that we have when it comes to gun violence.
So that tells us the main problem is the easy access to guns by everyone, the mentally ill or the people that are just hateful.
I finally want to ask you about the sentencing. Are you pleased with what occurred for the trial and then his sentence?
You know, neither one of us were ever in favor of the death sentence. That's just not who we are. But if anyone deserved it, he did. And after sitting in the courtroom for 122 days and meeting all the victims that were testifying and literally seeing their wounds, I sat behind the day of the verdict. I was sitting behind two people in a wheelchair, two of them in wheelchairs, and I could see the bullet wounds on the one person's back, and there were several. And on the other person, he has severe brain injury. And I knew that they wanted the death sentence. And if anybody deserved having that, they deserved having that. And when it was announced and you could literally physically see them kind of slump, and the officers who were in the theater that night were also in the room when it was announced, and they gasped, screamed, and cried. It was one of those moments that I'll never forget. And, of course, we don't even know where he is being kept, which is another whole issue that we could get into and spend an hour on. But we want to know where he is. They deserve to know where he is. And we hope that the governor will finally address that and let us know.
The comfort that we have is we know that he'll never, ever see the light of day and that he will be having no picnic in jail.
Would you ever want to face him and talk to him and tell him what he did to your lives?
You know, he is really out of our lives.
Yes.
He's dead and gone as far as we're concerned. We allow him to not affect us in any way.
Yeah, we spent 122 days in the same room with he and his parents, and I'm
enough.
Done.
Enough yeah. for a lifetime.
Yes, more than enough for a lifetime.
Where are you headed after Buffalo?
From Buffalo, we go to Newtown, Connecticut, and then to New York City for just two nights, and then over to New Hampshire and Maine. And then we continue going west from there. So we end up in Colorado in September.
Well, Sandy and Lonnie Phillips, thank you so much for coming in and talking about your efforts.
Thank you.
Thank you.